Exodus chapter 33. While you're turning, let me say in the previous chapter of Exodus 32, the people of Israel had made a golden calf and worshipped it. And they attributed their sovereign deliverance out of Egypt to that idol instead of God. Can you imagine making an idol, melting down gold, making a calf, and saying, "This is the God that delivered us out of Egypt"? Men and women in religion today are still worshiping an idol of their own making instead of the just God and Savior Christ Jesus. Sinners attribute their deliverance and their redemption to many things that they ascribe to Jesus Christ. But their Jesus is really nothing more than a disguised work of their own self-righteousness. Folks, in the name of God, have many shiny things, like that gold molten calf that they worship. But the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands. For God says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool, and what house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things?" And the beloved Stephen, whom was stoned for preaching the gospel, said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." Now may God break any resistance that we have and enable us to trust in Christ and Christ alone. Now here in chapter 33, Moses enters into the tabernacle, and we're told in verse 11 that the Lord there spoke to him face to face. What an amazing thought that is. As a man speaketh unto his friend. God not only speaks to Moses face to face, but he speaks to him as a friend. That's even more amazing and miraculous, isn't it? Marvelous. And in the passage of Scripture before us this morning, I want us to consider the communion, the communication between God and Moses, praying that the Holy Spirit might be pleased to show us the things of Christ. Verse 12, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." Now the Lord beforehand had assured Moses of some things. God assures his people of some things, doesn't he? Sure he does. God assured him that he had called Moses for this task. God assured him that he was the one who was going to lead Moses in this thing, this deliverance of Egypt into the land of promise. God assured Moses that he knew him. Oh, what a blessed assurance that is, to know that God knows me. You know those who are going to one day stand in front of the Lord in that day of judgment are going to say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name?" And the Lord Jesus said, "I never knew you." What a blessing it is to know that he knows his people by name. And God assured Moses that he had found grace in God's sight. Moses had been assured, and God's people are assured. But I'm telling you something that I see here. Moses now needed some reassurance. I constantly need reassurance, don't you? That's why believers come to hear preaching. God speaks and reassures his people through his word. In times past and in divers ways, God spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, God speaks to his people through his Son, through this book, through the preaching of his word. That's why we give the preaching of Christ preeminence in this place. It's by the foolishness of preaching that God is pleased to save them that believe. Moses needed reassurance, and so do we. So, in verse 13, that's what Moses is asking for. Moses needs and he desires some reassurance. I need that this morning. I need more assurance and reassurance from God. We constantly need it because we're so weak in faith. O faithless and perverse generation, Christ said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Now I want you to listen to this prayer. I want you to consider it with me, this request of Moses to God. It's full of instruction and it's full of the revelation of Christ. It was recorded to comfort and assure the people of God. How do I know that? Because Scripture reveals Scripture. We know that Paul wrote in Romans 15, he said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We find comfort and hope in God's Word. Now, verse 13, he says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Now, as I said, there's much to learn from Moses' prayer. First, I want you to notice how this prayer begins. If I have found grace in your sight. Moses begins this prayer the way all prayers should begin. Knowing ourselves, we never presume God's grace. The answer to all our prayers is based upon God's grace to us. Every answer to our prayers are given to us by grace alone, in Christ alone, from God alone. There's no answer to prayer apart from the mercy and grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't love you apart from His love for Christ. He loves you in Christ. And it's presumptuous for sinners to think that God would answer any prayer of ours except through grace. What is grace? Well, we know it's unmerited favor. It's undeserved kindness. God gives us what we don't deserve, that's grace. And God does not give us what we do deserve, which is condemnation and eternal wrath, and that's mercy. This is the believer's attitude. This is the way a believer prays. That's the first thing I want you to see this morning. Grace in Christ is the only standing for salvation that we have. Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight. That's the grace that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only basis we have to approach God. It's the only reason we have to ask anything of Him. And it's the only hope that we have that God will ever answer us. Grace. It pleased Him to do so. It has to start there. How are we saved? For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. How do we receive the blessings from God? A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. It's grace. Grace. What is the gift of God? Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God? Oh, it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How much does God love His elect people in this world? For God so loved the world, His people in the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the grace of God that bringeth salvation. That's what Paul told Titus. Noah found grace where? In the eyes of the Lord. That's where grace is found. Grace comes from the Lord. Grace originates with God. Why? Because all sins against Him. If we found grace in God's sight, now, I'm telling you, our prayer will be this. Look at the second thing. He says, show me thy way. That should be our prayer every single day. Lord, show me thy way. Not a way. Not my way, but thy way. Show me your way. There's a way that seems right unto man, but it's not the right way. It leads to destruction. Enter ye in at the straight gate, our Lord said. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in therein. We need to know God's way. Do you know God's way? Our Lord Jesus said, I am the way. He doesn't hide that from us. He plainly and clearly said, I am the way, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the only way. He's the only way. Has God shown you that? Lord, show us thy way. For this reason. Again, verse 13. Show me now thy way that I may know thee. Do you know God? Life eternal is to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We've had that on the front of our bulletin for 27 years. This is life eternal. To know God. The only true God, not a God, not a God of man's imagination, but the God of this Bible, the God who rules and reigns and works all things after the counsel of His own will, not this little puny pygmy God that men preach today, one who's trying and wants to. That's not true God. Not true God. Life eternal is to know the true God and the true Christ, whom God has sent. Do you know God? Do you know Him as He's revealed in the Scriptures? Let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Many claim Christ to be their Savior. You don't talk to many folks today that say, that don't say, oh, I believe Jesus is my Savior. But it doesn't take long in listening and hearing them talk where you find out He's not their Lord. He's Lord and Savior. He's Lord and Christ. The Jesus proclaimed in this book is both Lord and Christ. Do you know that Jesus? The Jesus. Do you know this Christ? God has to reveal Him to you. Galatians 1:16, Christ in you is the hope of glory. God's got to show you that. Christ cannot be your Savior if He's not your Lord. Do you know that Christ is both a just God and Savior? Most people say, oh, He's Savior, but they don't know Him as a just God. As God, Jesus Christ can be both just and justifier. That's what makes Him so unique. He's the God-man. He's just. He's a just God, and yet He's a Savior. He's a justifier of those that believe in Him. A just God. He's too holy to excuse sin. Have we learned that about God? God is too holy to just sweep sin under a rug. He will by no means clear the guilty. No means. Under any circumstance or any reason will God clear the guilty. Sin must be punished and paid for. God's holy law commands it. God's holy justice requires it. Christ the judge will execute the verdict. What's the verdict? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Guilty. Guilty is charged. Blessed Lord, what hope is there for one guilty of offending the law and justice of God? This is our hope, that we may know Thee. Lord, if I can find grace in Thy sight, show me Your way. Show me that I may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. If I found grace in Thy sight, show me Thy way that I may know Thee, that I might know that He's both Lord and Christ, that I might know that He is both a just God and a Savior, that I might hear Him say, for I am the Lord, Thy God, the Holy One of Israel, Thy Savior. I gave Egypt for Thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for Thee, Isaiah 43:3, that I might know that He is I, even I, the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. Beside Him there is no Savior. No need to look anywhere else. There is no Savior beside Him. No salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no Savior. Friends, who hath declared these things from ancient times? Christ said, have not I the Lord? There's no God beside me. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ is God. I'm a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Only one. Is this the Christ that you trust? Well, what have we seen thus far? How does a man know God? By the gift of grace. The only way. If we found grace, what do we ask for? We ask God to show us His way. Not a way. Don't give us our way. Lord, don't let me have my will. Deliver me from my will. Deliver me from my way. Show me Your way. Why do we want to know His way? So that we might know Him. Moses said, so that I might know Thee. That was his prayer. Boy, that's a good prayer, isn't it? How does a man know God? By knowing His way. How does a man or woman get in God's way? By grace. By God and grace showing them His way. And I can assure you of this, you're not going to know God going your own way. What did our Lord say? Again, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man, no woman, no sinner, nobody cometh to God but by me. I think about that every day. A lot in a day. I endeavor to mention it in every message. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the way, and no man comes to God but by Him. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to have your sin put away. No man knoweth the Father save or except the Son, and He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Matthew 11:27. And there's just no doubt in my mind, in considering this passage of Scripture for some time now, there's just no doubt in my mind that Moses wanted to see Christ. Well, Christ wouldn't come till hundreds of years later. No, Christ always was. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Moses said, show me Thy way that I might know Thee. To know God is to know Christ. To see the Father is to see the Son. To see the Son is to see the Father. They're both God. God the Father and God the Son. Philip asked the Lord. He said, show us the Father. He said, show us the Father and that'll suffice us. What an arrogant attitude we have. Don't we? Philip said, you know, you say you're going to prepare a place for us in your Father's house or many mansions. We'll be able to swallow that a little bit easier if you'll just show us the Father. That'll suffice us. That will satisfy us. Listen, Christ does not have to meet our demands. He's the one who we must suffice and satisfy. God owes us nothing. You ever see that, you'll thank God for His grace. He didn't owe you a thing. We must know Him to know that. Men who try to obligate God don't know Him. I'm telling you, they don't. Christ told Philip, have I been so long with you, Philip? And yet hast thou not known me? Did you notice that question? Hast thou not known me? If you know God, you know Christ. And if you know Christ, you know God. They're one and the same. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Moses wanted to see and know Christ. Do you? Do you? Do you have a saving interest in Him? You better have, because I'm telling you, Christ is God's righteousness. He's God's righteousness. God requires perfect righteousness. It can only be obtained in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is God's righteousness. Christ is God's sacrifice for sin. By the offering of Himself, He sacrificed Himself for our sin. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. He said, I came not to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. He crossed every I. I've dotted every I and crossed every T of God's law for His people. And now when we stand before the law, the perfect, innocent, not guilty. God's justice, holy justice, cannot charge us. Why? Because we have no sin in Christ. And you know, it just It's hard to even say that, isn't it, knowing ourselves? I have no sin. But I'm telling you, I don't. Not in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's put it all away. Moses wanted to know Him. You can only know Him by faith through grace. Moses said, if I found grace in thy sight, only by and through grace can we know His. Show me thy way, not my will, not my work, but thine. We're like sheep that have gone astray. We've turned everyone, what? To our own way. God's ways are not our ways. Moses didn't want his way, and I'm telling you, neither do I. I don't want my way. Lord, deliver me from my way. We pray that very often, don't we? Lord, don't leave me to myself. Don't let me have my way. For this is eternal life, that we may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Now look at the last thing Moses requests here in verse 13. He said that I may find grace in Thy sight and consider this nation as Thy people. The fourth thing, I need to know if I belong to Christ. I need to know. I need to have some assurance, some confidence, some hope that I know Him. Why? Because He is the way to life. Life is only in Him. Am I one of His chosen people? Am I one in His chosen nation? Does God consider me one of His children? He plainly said in John 15:16, He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Folks say, I've decided to follow Jesus. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You have not chosen me. You've not decided anything. I made the decision. I decided. I've chosen you. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Not only in number, but in morality and just, and oh my, we're the fewest, the least of the least, the worst of the worst. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now I want to know if the Lord has set His love upon me, don't you? I want to know if He's brought me out with a mighty hand. I want to know if He's redeemed me out of the house of bondmen. If He has snatched me out of the hand of my taskmaster. In verse 14, we see that the Lord granted Moses' request. And God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My, what a wonderful comfort that is. Now we come to the true believer's attitude. I'm telling you, there's a lot of instruction in these verses. The true believer's attitude. Verse 15. And Moses said unto the Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now here's the resolve of the child of God. Lord, if you don't go with me, if your presence don't go with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And what a picture this is of our redemption. I was thinking about this yesterday. What an example of our journey to the land of promise. What a picture of our journey into eternity. Egypt was now behind them. Well, they left Egypt, and as they went out of the city, the people of Egypt were coming up and just giving them everything they had. Here, take this. You may need it. My, that's the way God does things. That's the way God delivers His people. God had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. The land of promise lay ahead of them. It was before them. But what lies immediately ahead? A journey in the wilderness. Moses said, if you don't go with me, don't make me go. Don't make me go. Lord, I don't want to go without you. Is that not the way you feel, child of God? Lord, I don't want to go another inch further if you're not with me. If you don't go with me, I don't want to go. You see, we've left Egypt. We've been delivered from Egypt. God's people have. We're no longer slaves to Pharaoh. No longer slaves to sin. The Egyptian law is no longer upon us. It's been fulfilled. It's been done away with. We've been delivered from the curse of the law. We've been delivered from the condemnation of the law. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. We've been delivered from the power of sin. We've been delivered from the practice of sin. We were talking about that in the men's meeting. Oh yes, we still sin, I know. But we hate our sin, don't we? We're delivered from the practice of it. But we still got a journey to make. And that journey's in the wilderness. And theirs took 40 years. Ours may take longer. I don't want to go if He don't go with me. Child of God, you're walking through a barren, a bleak, sin-infested wilderness. And you will not make it if Christ is not with you. And that's just a fact. Our prayer should be the same as Moses. Lord, if Thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why won't you, David? For Thou art with me. I'm not going to fear because God's with me. When we pass through the waters, when we pass through the fire, fear not. I'm with thee. Oh my. Christ said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." What a wonderful lesson for us. The presence. Now listen, this is so encouraging. The presence of the Lord is the evidence that we found grace in His sight. If God's presence doesn't go with us, then we haven't found grace in the sight of the Lord. And here's something else. Look at verse 16. "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." You see, friends, the presence of God separates us from the other people on the earth. The presence of God distinguishes us as His people. How do I know that I'm one of His? He's with me. He's going with me. We sung it. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. How shall it be known that we found grace in Your sight? How shall it be known that we are Thy people? By His presence with us. By His going with us, by His separating us. God is going to separate His people from all the others upon the face of the earth. He already has. God's separating of His people is the proof of His grace. God's separating them is the evidence of His presence. See how all these things go together? Their separation from the world is the result of His grace and His presence. He says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You will come out for who has resisted His will." If He says come out, you'll come out because His command is always effectual. Who's resisted His will? His command, effectual. His purpose cannot be resisted. His will cannot be ignored. He said, "I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people." Leviticus 20, verse 24. And what about the words of Paul who said, "Who maketh thee to differ from another?" What do we have that God didn't give us? What do we have that we've not received? And if we've received it, how do we glory in it? How do we pat ourselves on the back and say, "Boy, me and Jesus have a good thing going"? Blasphemous. Saved by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves. God made the difference, friends. God makes the difference. He's the one who causes us to differ from others. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now let me quickly give you the last thing that Moses desired. And this is his prayer. These are the things that Moses wanted most. Are these the things that you want most? Are these the things that I want most? Now, these are the things that God's people want and desire. We've already seen four of them. We want His grace, don't we? Moses said, if I found grace in thy sight. We want to know His way. Our prayer is, Lord, show me Your way. We want to know Him. We want to know Christ. That's the third thing. We want to know that we belong to Him. That's the fourth thing we've seen. Now, what's the last thing? What's the fifth thing? Moses wanted to see His glory. That's something that God's people want to see more than anything, the glory of God. The glory of God. I want to see His glory. Look at verse 18. And he said, Moses said, Lord, I beseech Thee, show me Thy glory. Now, what is God's glory? Well, let me leave you with the answer. Verse 19. God answers this in layers. Verse 19, and God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. The goodness of God is His glory. Is it not? Child of God, God will cause all His goodness to pass before thee. Jesus Christ is all God's goodness. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why, it's the goodness of God that leads men and women to repentance. Christ is God's goodness to us. Read on. And God says, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. God's gospel, second thing, God's gospel is His glory. God's goodness is His glory. God's gospel is His glory. Christ and Him crucified is the message of the gospel. Salvation has to do with who proclaims the name of Christ. God says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. It's God who makes the word effectual to His people. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness like we've been studying in John 1. That's all God's preachers are, just voices, just messengers, just reporters. But God is the one that's got to make that word effectual. God says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. And if He does, you'll hear. And you'll come. Because none can resist His will. It's God who makes His word effectual to His people. And you'll not be saved hearing a word from me. I can assure you of that. You'll be saved by hearing a word from God. Oh, that God might speak to your heart. When you hear men preach, you ought to be listening for God to speak to you. I remember that story. I believe it was Mr. Spurgeon or Henry One. I forget who said there was a little boy sitting on the front pew like this. And his mama said, why do you have your hand coupled up around your ear like that? He said, well, the preacher told me that God speaks through His word, and I think that He might have a word for me. Oh, if we would listen like that. If we would listen to hear a word from God, we should come prepared to hear a word from God. I'm reminded again of what my dear sister Clarice said to me Friday. She said, you know, David, she said, on Tuesdays I never would do much because she said, I don't want to be tired on Wednesdays. And she said, and on Saturday I try not to do a lot either because I don't want to be tired on Sunday. You see, the child of God doesn't work Christ around their life. The true child of God works their life around Him. Isn't that right? That's the way it ought to be. And then when I left, And more than likely, apart from a miracle of God, Clarice will never come out of that bed again. But she said, now listen, Brother David, she said, I don't know when I'll be able to come back to church. You see what's on her mind and on her heart? That's what's on God's people's mind and heart. Oh, they want to hear a word from God. God said, I'll proclaim thy name, the name of the Lord before thee. If he does, you'll hear. If he does, you'll believe. Then look at the last part of verse 19. This is God's glory. He said, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And we'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. And we're right back to salvation being about God's grace and God's mercy to us. This is the glory of God. God will be gracious to whom he'll be gracious. But this is his glory. He shall be gracious to some. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And we go, well, how could God hate Esau? And the child of God says, how could he love Jacob? How could he love me, the sinner that I am? This is God's glory. He shall be gracious to some. Do you, like Moses, desire to see God's glory? God will show mercy on whom he'll show mercy. That's his glory. He'll show mercy on some. He's going to show mercy on some. How glorious is the thought that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel? Did they deserve to be blessed? No. That's what makes it grace. How glorious is the reality that it pleased the Lord to make you his people. Eternally glorious is the reality of that. How glorious is the truth that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that it pleased the Lord to put him to grief and to make his soul an offering for sin. I've never heard anything more glorious. Because it's in God making Christ these things that I have life by trusting in him and him alone to redeem me and save me from my sin. How glorious is the fact that it pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Look at verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. I wonder what that place is. I know, don't you? And thou shalt stand upon a rock. Oh, I wonder who that rock is. That rock is Christ. And it shall come to pass, as all things do, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock. Is this not the gospel, friends? And I'll cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Christ is that place by God. God says there's a place by me. Oh, have you seen that place? Have you seen who it is? Christ is that rock on which we stand. All other ground, sinking sand. Those that build their house upon a rock, when the storms of life beat against it, that rock shall stand. He is that firm foundation. Christ is that rock. Christ is that cleft of the rock that God puts us in. It's the hand of God that covers us in mercy, and it's the blood of Christ that covers us from the hand of God's wrath. I need him. You need him. Christ is all in all. Won't you come to him? Now, we're not going to sing a bunch of verses of a song and plead and beg people to walk from one part of the church to another. No salvation in that. Salvation's coming right here in the heart. May God enable you to come to him. That's God enabling you to do so the only way you will. The only way I will. Oh, God. Make it so. Make it so.